The Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Order your favorite CBH menu items from the comfort of your home with Skip the Dishes. Here's your host, Derek Taylor.
It's 4:30, it's Tuesday, and we're here for Saskatchewan Lotteries, the main fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. Derek Taylor, Sean Kleisinger with you, and you. We'd love to have you join us on the text line for our friends at TrustedRegina.com. It is 306-936-6262. I'm filling out my ballot for the CFL All-Decade Team, 2010 to 2019. Tell me who's got to be on my ballot. Give me the riders who absolutely, positively have to be on my ballot. You will fight me to the death if they are not on my ballot. I've got more than a few, but man, there are some tough decisions along the way. I wonder if there are any former riders who could help me with this project. Like defensive backs. There's some real good defensive backs. I think there's anybody.
I know one. I think his last name starts with a B or something.
Tyron
B something?
Yeah. Tyron Brackenridge will join us. He is on the list of potentials at safety for the All-Decade Team. Pick his brain. He's now the defensive backs coach with the Toronto Argos, has been for a couple of years. We'll get him to help me out because this is tough. Quarterback, Zinger, do you pick Henry Burris, Darian Durant, Bo Levi Mitchell, Mike Riley? Those are my final four.
That's something I just can't answer off the top. Like, I got to sit down and think. Yeah. Like, that's hard.
Well, and you have to start to remember, okay, well, how long did they play and how long in the 2010 to 2019 range did they play, right?
Like, that's something you have to take like a solid 10, 15 minutes on and really like dive into it a bit. I'll get back to you on that one.
And in our case, we'll consult the expert. Tyron Brackenridge will join us a few minutes from now. Arash Madani of Sportsnet. It is Tuesday, so we have the Madani Report. He's got a real good piece on the Montreal Alouettes and what they've been doing under the guidance of their president, Mario Cecchini, in this time of Black Lives Matter. It's about Vernon Adams and Enoch Mwamba and their head coach, Kahari Jones. Some of the things they've seen and done and said and some of the changes that will happen in the Montreal Alouettes organization because of what those three men are doing. Also, we'll talk Hubs with Arash. And are they really letting the Blue Jays into Toronto to play baseball? Arash, a big baseball fan, Sportsnet, the baseball network in our nation. But I don't know about letting that plane get across the border.
And five, risky.
5:30. He's one of the best defensive backs in the CFL. Currently a free agent because he's coming off spinal fusion surgery. Jonathan Rose will join us. We'll talk a little football with Jonathan Rose. I have to admit, I was wondering in free agency, isn't somebody going to sign Jonathan Rose? Like this guy who, a 2018 Grey Cup, interception, big long rangy guy. Fast, good ball skills, has a lot going for him. No one's signing him. And he went, oh, right, he missed 15 games and had to have surgery on his spine. He says he's fully recovered. We'll talk to him about that, what he's hoping as far as getting back into the league. And frankly, we're all hoping there's going to be a league in 2020.
Surgery on the spine sounds pretty serious to me. But oh, boy. Spinal fusion surgery, you said?
He had a herniated disc, so he had a spinal fusion surgery. Apparently, they took some bone from his pelvis, attached it to his spine. And back surgery, I assume, is somewhat complicated. More complicated than what I do
more
for
complicated
a living.
Than like playing checkers like I do at night. Probably.
Have you had in your young life back pain plague you?
Not really, DT. I have a lot of other type of pain.
Yeah.
But not back pain.
Yeah. Back pain is the worst, and mine's never been very bad.
Like lower back pain, I know that, yeah.
It's incapacitating, right? So when you talk about herniated disc, oh.
That always sounds really potent to me, that term, herniated disc.
It
just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. News out of the States that does not make me feel great about the chance that there's going to be CFL football this year. First up, we should talk about the Premier, Scott Moe. He was basically discussing the next phase of the reopen plan. Pools Everybody into the pool, Zinger. Pools and rinks can open up on June the 6th. That'll be a nice day. Outdoor, what? Rinks, outdoor courts, indoor courts, they can all open back up again. So
yeah, July 6th.
Yeah, very excited for that. Today is the 30th, so that's next Tuesday, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
And I think the 3rd is movie theaters, I'm pretty sure.
So, yep. Yeah. Yeah, Landmark and Cineplex will open up on Friday, and you can watch E.T.
I tried finding, is the listings out for that? I tried looking into that. I haven't seen anything about it, but regardless, the doors are going to be open, so they'll be playing something on the screens.
And you, last time we discussed, were not racing back.
No, I'm not racing back for that quite yet, no.
Trolls World Tour, The Dark Knight Rises. That's a good one to see in the theater. Jurassic Park, the original. There you go.
Okay, so they're just playing oldies. Okay, yeah, I feel
The
that.
Dark Knight. Oh, The Dark Knight is so good. Mm-hmm. The Extraterrestrial, which is, by the way, known as E.T. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Deadpool, The Goonies, Dirty Dancing, Zinger.
No, that's pretty good. That's with Patrick Swayze, right?
That one is right up your alley, dude. Yeah. A Bloodshot starring Vin Diesel in a newer film. Sonic the Hedgehog is newer.
Right up my alley.
Yeah, there you go. Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Wow, look at all these classics. Ghostbusters, 1984. Can I see a triple play of the Batman, the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy?
Patrick Swayze is on Dirty Dancing, right? I'm correct on that, I hope. I hope I'm not making myself sound like an idiot.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure you are correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so that's you're fine with that.
Okay.
I find it, you know, it is a little before your time, so yeah. I get it. Trying to do what we can to connect with our first guest on the show. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I might have goofed this up, but things are opening up in our province again. Zinger, give me something you're excited to see return, knowing that so much has already been canceled for this year. Give me something you're excited to see back.
Well, it's easy for me. Right now it's Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, I think, is a 60-game season gives anyone a chance at the World Series. I think the Blue Jays, with their young talent, I think a 60-game season, DT, the Blue Jays could be in the World Series. I mean, let's go. I mean, hurrah, hurrah. they can win 40, 35 games, make it into the postseason. I read that 40 games are against your division, and then 20 of the games are interleague games against the National League, vice versa. So
yeah, the NL East, they get a bunch against Philly, and then the Mets and the Braves. Yeah, get me to Atlanta.
I don't know, man, but I'm looking forward to that. But as far as within my own personal life here, within things starting to open up and stuff, I am still looking forward to movie theaters opening up, but I am looking forward to when things are back to normal, when brand new movies are being released. So you have something to look forward to go see a brand new movie. Nothing against Jurassic Park and all those, but sometimes it doesn't quite tickle the fancy when it's not brand new and you don't know what the climax is and what the plot is. So
well, and you were waiting for the new Bond film, right? But yeah, early exactly. on in COVID, that was pushed back.
Yeah.
And pushed off. So it's going to be tough. It's going to take us a while to get back to normal. Restaurants can open up to full capacity. That'll be great. But when will we all decide it's time to go? When will it be time to get back into, well, football games is honestly the big thing I'm waiting for is when can we get back to football games? You mind throwing up that the Scott Moe clip? Scott Moe on 53.
Yeah, sure.
We can hear from the premier about reopening in sports. And, of course, he was asked about gatherings and when they'll get larger and larger, which ultimately comes down to us, to when will we get fans in the stands for Rider games? Here's the premier earlier today.
You know, and automatically we think of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but because they are a gate-driven team. They generate their profits from the tickets that are sold at the gate, and they are an entity that has been in this province for 110 years. But there's also other entities as well. There's the we have some of our junior football leagues. We have the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. We have the WHL, all gate-driven leagues that do need to have the opportunity to have people in the stands if they are going to survive financially. So we're not quite there yet, and I But I say that about the app is we don't quite have all of the tools at our disposal yet that may be available come around to this fall when those leagues might be interested in moving forward. So there's no guarantees that we would be able to find our way through that. But there is a reason to be looking at it. It would be on the request of the leagues and the communities that are hosting teams that play in these leagues.
Have the riders put a request in?
Not officially for this, although we have been in conversations with the riders, as I said earlier on, is there safe rules for play for those that are involved on the field, as well as not just the riders, but the CFL, as well as the minor leagues. And then the secondary conversation is if you can actually play the game safely with limiting your risk, would you be able to put people in the stands, and what would that look like? We haven't been to that second conversation with them at this point in time.
The Premier went on to say he knows there is a big appetite for Saskatchewan to be a CFL hub city, but acknowledges that that would be a large and expensive undertaking. And there's one of the questions that overrides the hub cities. And Alberta is stumping very hard to make Edmonton a hub city, and Vancouver was in it for a while, and then they were out. The real question of why would you want to be a hub city? What's the point? If fans can't go, that immediately loses a ton of the charm of being a hub city. Hey, all the CFL teams in the world are in the Regina area. Okay. But yeah, I can't go watch?
Yeah, what good comes out of it?
Yeah, in that case, right?
Meet and greet your favorite players outside the hotel rooms.
Yeah, 600. I mean, if guys are staying for 3 months, there's 600 hotel nights, right? Times however long it lasts, 90 days. There's a substantial amount of money for hotels and restaurants. But for what does that do for you and me?
Mm-hmm.
It's supporting local business. Bring it on.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really to be gained versus what's to be sacrificed?
Right.
We're in a pretty sweet spot with the old COVID-19 here in Saskatchewan, right?
It's kind of the same thing with the NHL hub cities, right?
Right.
Like, what's the point in being excited to, you know, oh, yay, everyone's playing in our city. Oh, but I can't go and watch it. So I'll just watch it on TV like everyone else across the country is doing.
And that's why I've always been on, it's going to be Las Vegas and Toronto. Las Vegas, enormous infrastructure, Pacific time zone. Toronto, the home of Sportsnet. It would be the least cost to them to broadcast these games. They don't have to move trucks very far. It was going to be Vancouver and Vegas. Vancouver out. It's Toronto and Vegas. It just makes too much sense. And there's just so little payoff, right? Other than we get to watch it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. This news coming from New York was the thing that caught me about the CFL season. And then we'll go to break, have Tyron Brackenridge join us on the back end. New York has now set out a 14-day quarantine for people traveling from other states. Not going across an international border, but traveling from other states. They include Florida, Georgia, and Texas. And those hold a lot of football players, those states. It's going to be a problem. Alaska, Arkansas, Arizona, California is another one. Indiana, Idaho, Louisiana, just state after state is now under a 14-day quarantine if you travel to New York State. I see that news and I get less confident. Things are going great here, but I get less confident. And then you hear people who text into the show, I'm not going to a game. Why am I going to a game? Getting coughed on by somebody? Not happening. Opening up in our province is fantastic. Does it mean much for the Riders for a CFL season? I have my doubts. It's 4:43 on the Sports Cage. We'll talk the all-decade team in the CFL coming up. One big number for this day is 20. We have more than 20 interviews compiled for Reunited in Green, debuting Sunday at 3 o'clock right here on 620 CKRM. We look back at the best of the 2019 season, the most impactful of the 2019 season as well. Cody Fajardo's first start, Brett Lowther's race to Pill Country, what happened in the fourth quarter of that West Final, and more and more and more. Reunited in Green debuts on CKRM with Cody Fajardo's first start. It's Sunday, it's 3 o'clock, and it is right here on your radio. One big number for smart investing solutions. If you're unsure what to do with your investments, call Brian Gulley for some free financial advice. Call 546-2533.
Sports ticker. While the province is set to reopen rinks, pools, and entertainment venues, there's still a nothing as far as fans for sports. Premier Scott Moe says they may have more tools in the fall to allow fans back into events. And the Pats select defenseman Stanislav Svozil. Hopefully I said that right, DT. Can you correct me on it? Let's correct me on it, DT. Stanislav Svozil?
Svozil is probably Svozil? In the ballpark.
There we go. In today's import draft, the Pats officially gave up on their selection from last year, Daniil Gushin. He re-entered the draft and went fourth overall to Niagara. Minor League Baseball is canceled for the 2020 season, with Major League Baseball not providing players. There is no one to play in the minor leagues, DT.
Let's go to the Western Pizza Hotline. He is former Rider safety, current Argos defensive backs coach, Tyron Brackenridge. Tyron, thank you for the time, because this all-decade ballot is killing me. Please, please tell me you can help me.
Please tell you what? I'm sorry, cut out.
Oh, I was saying this all-decade ballot for the CFL is killing me. I'm hoping that you can help me.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm looking at this list right now. This is bananas. I'm going crazy right now just looking at even just the young talent within this decade and just even the older players that are retired and moved on. And, woo, I'm like, shoot, man. Some people are just going to be feeling offended right now.
Well, and there's the rub, right? Because we all associate to different parts of the decade, perhaps. You go, well, this guy was an amazing player, but, oh, most of his career was in the 00 to 09 time. These lists are, from a football nerd perspective of mine, these lists are hard to do properly. Ooh.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I'm looking at it right now. It's so many names. It's so many ball players that are actually currently doing it, and it's like, man, I'm looking at guys who are doing it, who played less years than guys who already did it, and their numbers are just right on their heels. And they're just gonna take charge. It's crazy.
All right, let's start at safety, where I think it's pretty clear it's Joshua Bell and Marco Bruyette. Is that fair? Tyron, make the case if you would, just through my first year as the voice of the Riders, make the case of Tyron Brackenridge as one of the great safeties of the 2010s, if you would, sir.
Okay. Let's see. If we look at it as far as myself, 5 years. Got double-digit interceptions. One person has more interceptions than me, which is Craig Butler, and we played together.
Yep.
Who actually, I'm not going to even lie, he was one of the guys that when I first moved to safety, ever playing safety, I kind of picked his brain in a lot of ways. You know, that's one of my boys, and I picked his brain playing back there in that spot. And he had an knack for the ball. I see the forced fumbles. There's a lot of forced fumbles up there.
Underrated stat.
I mean, fumble recoveries, but no – there's fumble recoveries, but no forced fumbles. I'm feeling cheated right there, because those will help my numbers right there, because I had a good amount of forced fumbles, if I can recall.
Didn't you have like nine? You're now a coach and you played for a long time. We ignore forced fumbles, but those are virtually interceptions, right? Those should be on the same level almost as an interception.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
Absolutely. It's a takeaway. It's a takeaway.
Exactly.
That is a huge defensive set. Huge defensive set.
It's just not the sexy one, right?
Huh?
It's just not the sexy one. The interception is the sexy one, but if it gets your team the ball back.
The interception is the sexy one.
Yeah. All right.
But I'll take it like this. All right, what separated myself from everybody is when that offense got on the field and they seen 41 in the middle of the field, it changed their whole game plan. So I changed a lot of offenses' game plans by being in the middle of the field, and my secondary felt comfortable with me being back there in the middle of the field. My defense felt comfortable with me being back there in the middle of the field.
That's pretty good.
And I will say that that would probably be, out of all these great safeties that's back there, that separated me from everybody else.
Tyron Brackenridge, 75 games played, 10 interceptions. There you go, 10 forced fumbles, including 5 in one season alone in 2013. That's a real good number.
Yeah. Yeah, keep pumping them up. I can get...
All right. So Tyron Brackenridge and Joshua Bell. There we go. Defensive back was a really interesting one because I get into some current day guys versus past day guys. Just going through the list. Am I crazy thinking that for the 2010s, Javon Johnson and Brandon Smith just have to be on my list?
They have to be. Okay. Especially Brandon Smith. I mean, he's been doing it for years. I mean, he's played 158 games. I mean, very consistent. Looked like, I don't think he missed very many games, and he played in one program. So that says a lot in itself right there, right? A very selfless player, a very consistent player, and who's been doing it for years. Javon Johnson also as well. You know, I mean, you look at his 26 interceptions, 151 games. I mean, and he's not even the biggest guy on the field, you know, one of the smallest, but played huge, right?
Yep.
And that's another guy, a veteran that's been doing it for a long time. But then you have a guy like Ed Gainey.
Yep.
Right? You know, who came in and changed the game, with 20 interceptions. Played, he got 7 years in the league, which I didn't think he played that long. It hasn't been that long.
What, three teams now, yeah?
Yeah, okay. And he's been playing his best ball in Saskatchewan, that's what I've seen, right? And he's been doing really well. So that's another young guy who came up in the ranks, right? You have big names like who else you had out there? Ryan Phillips.
See, and Ryan Phillips is one guy who ends up straddling decades, right? Which I think might get him. He could get left out of something like this. So I end up with a debate of, say, Ryan Phillips, who was an all-star in, what, 10, 12, and 13, and 15 for the West All-Star. You go, wow, that was great, versus, well, what do I do with Delvin Bro, who is, you know, just played in the later part of the decade, apart from a little bit, but is a monster in the CFL currently.
Who literally shuts down his side of the field. You just put him one-on-one all game, and you play ball around him, right?
Yep. It's,
you know, but see, like it says, he has what, two interceptions, but he literally affects the game.
Yeah.
You know, his numbers may not show up, but he affects the game. With, like you said, he came later on, but he locked down that whole side of that field. That boundary is locked down.
Yeah.
So he made his stats may not show it, but he affected it. He changes the offensive game plan.
Yeah, I remember counting for 2018, and it was something like 50 defensive backs were targeted more than Delvin Bro, and that dude was a starter. And it's crazy to think that 50 guys were targeted more than he was, but no one would throw his way at all. Tyron Brackenridge joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Receivers, I think, is going to be a fascinating conversation because, again, it splits the decade, right? SJ Green's got to be on the list.
Oh, he's most definitely on the list. It's crazy it's in this order, but like I have SJ Green,
yep.
Of course, you know, of course Nick Lewis.
Yep.
I'm very biased and he is well deserved, Wesley Dressler.
Okay, yep.
And another guy, which let's see, who I got, Nick Lewis, Dressler, Bowman, SJ Green, and then the other one is I like Fred Stamps, man. Fred Stamps was that guy. And I'm that's part of the generation where I came in. But then also, you have a guy like Brandon Banks right now that's just killing who kills it. He's just a guy that you have to know where he's at mm-hmm. all times. You know, and then another guy, Burnham.
Brian Burnham, BC,
this
yeah.
This dude makes plays. He makes plays.
Yeah.
So like it's crazy. It's beyond tough. Because like you said, the different times and eras when people were coming in and coming out, but we're all part of that decade, right?
Yeah.
And you just have guys like that. You have those young guys who snuck in at the right time and is just being consistent. That's moving on to be that older all-star veteran style player. You know, and then you have the guys who already moved on, who already solidified themselves, who's a Hall of Famer, Nick Lewis, SJ Green, Hall of Famer. You know, you have these guys, Wesley Dressler, like the Darius Bowman. You know, his Darius Bowman's career towards his last couple years wasn't the best. you know, but he was killing early in his career.
Oh, he was.
You got.
Yeah.
There's so many names on here.
Adarius Bowman of middle of the decade, Adarius Bowman in Edmonton was just an absolute monster. And think of the names, Tyron, you didn't say. Manny Arsenault, Greg Ellingson.
Manny Arsenault.
Yeah. Andy Fantuz and Darrell Walker. Sorry, Tyron, go ahead.
Jamel Richardson.
Jamel Richardson. Yeah. Oh, these are the
names. Yes, Fantuz. You're right, Fantuz.
Yeah.
And another guy, you know who was another sneaky guy?
Hit me.
Chris Getzlaf.
Yep.
We like
hearing that.
A sneaky guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I like, and when he was healthy, he was a guy that made plays. You know?
Yeah.
And then you have a new guy. You have a new guy that's a big playmaker, you know, is Eric Rogers.
That's a tough one, and these are always so difficult, and they're so much fun. The ballot available at CFL.ca.
Oh,
you can wait in. Tyron, give me one person, any position, give me one person not named Tyron Brackenridge who absolutely positively must be on the ballot, you think? I got to vote for
absolutely.
This guy.
You know what? I honestly will have to say, shucks. Well, I'm not even looking at QBs. QBs, you're making it hard.
It's
you
hard.
Know what? A person who came in who was very, very good, who changed the game, just a good ball player, and when he first came in, you wouldn't think he would amount to anything,
mm-hmm.
was Cornish.
No, I was hoping you'd say Cornish.
I have to say Cornish, and I could not stand him on the field. And I literally tried to take his head off every chance I got, but Cornish was a dude who lined up every play and gave it everything.
Yeah, and
three. And I'm not trying to take away from anybody else because there's a lot of guys on the list who did the same thing, but Cornish, he just is well deserved.
Incredible. Three seasons over 7 yards a carry. Tyron, thank you for your insight. Cornish definitely on my ballot, and I'm going to look really hard at these safeties because there's some good names, but yours is at the top of my list currently. So I'm looking forward to diving into this.
I appreciate it. Yeah, some good guys out here on this list, man. You guys made it hard for yourselves and everybody else, man.
Tyron, thank you so much, man. It's great to talk to you.
Great talking to you as well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tyron Brackenridge, former Rider and currently the defensive back coach of the Toronto Argos on the Western Pizza Hotline. Quickly, let's go out to our good friend Brian Raymond of Flowing Springs. Brian, I'm looking forward to Canada Day because the weather's going to turn a little bit and it's going to be great for me to get out and golf.
Well, we've already got people on the golf course today. We haven't had any rain out here, so it's been
good.
Awesome. And yes, you're right. The weather tomorrow looks like it's really good. We're starting to fill up, but we've still got openings tomorrow. So anybody who's looking for a tee time tomorrow, just give us a call. And we are taking bookings for the weekend as well. So anybody who looking for a good place to play golf, reasonable prices, lots of great specials, give us a call. And just having said that, every day after 1 o'clock, it's $39. Every day after 3, it's $29. And every day after 6 o'clock, come out and walk the golf course, it's $14. And don't forget, we have a great, great all-grass driving range.
Which I will definitely be using on my 5 days off. How do I get a tee time, Brian?
Give us a call at 543-5050, or you can book online at flowingspringsgolf.com.
Awesome. Brian, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Take care, Derek.
Brian Raymond of Flowing Springs. 4:59 news is next. The other side, it's Arash Madani talking CFL football and Major League Baseball on the Sports Cage.
Kane is in the building.
.507 on a Tuesday for Saskatchewan Lotteries, the main fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. All the guests of the show appear on the Western Pizza Hotline. Western Pizzas will be reopening for dine-in over the next little while. Call your local Western Pizza for their specific opening details. He is the wonderful Arash Madani of Sportsnet with us. Arash Madani, we're going to talk about your terrific piece on the Montreal Alouettes. Hopefully talk a little baseball, but first up, I'm struggling with my CFL all-decade team. If you would, give me one person who, or even a couple, who absolutely, positively I have to vote for on the CFL's all-decade team.
Oh, man. I think Javon Olafoye.
That's a good one.
Is probably number one on my list, and I know that's getting very inside football and very nerdy of us, Derek.
Love the tackles.
But, But if you're talking football in Saskatchewan, I think that's where we have to start. I mean, the left tackle is the most important position in football. So I definitely had him high on my list. And I think number two, and I know that part of his greatness came before 2010, but I put Andy Fantuz on that list because Andy Fantuz, man, when you talk about Canadian receivers,
yep,
that dude was the benchmark. He set the standard. And I'll give you an underrated name for that list also because I think he's the most underrated U-Sports/CIS/CIAU player maybe ever.
Okay.
And that's Andre Jury.
Oh, nice.
Andre Jury was a running back at York University in and around the same time that Jesse Lumsden was being dominant at McMaster. And Andre Jury suffered as gruesome a foot, knee, leg injury that nearly led to amputation when he was in school. And he overcame that to have a lengthy pro career, lifted the Grey Cup, and was able to be an offensive threat, special teams threat, running back threat, could catch the ball out of the backfield. And I know Javon's American, but I always look out for the Canadian guys before anybody else. So those to me are, we can talk about Bo and we can talk about Mike Riley and Henry and have that debate. But when it comes to all-decade teams, I think about the guys who are unique, and I think about the guys who are special, and I put those three guys for those reasons in that list.
Those are good, yeah. Olaf Yoye is a real good place to start with tackles. Stanley Bryant toward the end of the decade, there's going to be a lot of headbanging on my desk as I work on this tonight. It's going
to
be...
Who's your pass rusher? Who's your number one? Like, to me, getting the quarterback is where it starts, so...
Who's my pass rushers for the decade have to be Bowman and Charleston Hughes.
I had Charleston and I went with Odell. I went with Odell Willis because of the longevity. And in 2015, when Edmonton won it all, man, that dude was just a beast. Like, he wrecked things. And the beauty is you're not wrong with John Bowman either.
Yeah.
That's when you talk about an all decade team, you're talking about less than the 1%. And that's what that's about.
Yeah, there'll be some spots when it gets to receiver and trying to pick the five receivers. I'm gonna have real troubles with that. Running back, I found to be super easy. Quarterback, I'm down to four guys.
Who are your quarterbacks?
I have in my final four: Darian Durant, Henry Burris, Bo, and Mike Riley.
Yeah,
it's I don't think there's a guy outside of those four that I'm gonna end up with.
It crushed me not to, because I think we get two quarterbacks, right?
Correct.
It crushed me not to have Henry, but Henry won his first as a starter with Calgary, but that was in 2008.
Yep.
So he just missed the decade. And then he takes a team to the Grey Cup in Hamilton in 13. Everybody in Regina knows what happened that year. And what he did with Ottawa is just unimaginable.
Yeah.
You know, but if he had just gotten – if the 2008 championship happened in 2010, Henry's number one. It's just so difficult. Bo has to be on that list.
Yeah.
But Mike Riley's numbers are absurd.
Yeah. So that's going to come down to some real debate. And then Durant, right, didn't play as much of the decade as some of the other guys. Was obviously, I mean, for fans here, legend. Legend.
I wonder how much, because football is quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we always look to. Of the decade, the most dominant season, I would say, was Lule in 2011. And I'm a little biased, big fan of Lule. He and I have worked a bunch of Grey Cups together. He's the best dude. But I remember leaving BC Place after Lule led the Lions to the Grey Cup, and I texted his agent, Dan Vertlieb, and I said, Dan, get him a workout with the Vikings tomorrow, please. And he replied, LOL. He said, Travis may be a little under the weather tomorrow. And my reply was, A hungover Lule is better than anybody we have in the depth on the depth chart in Minnesota.
I just had to pull up those numbers. 2011 and 2012, 9,000 yards passing, 60 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, a little over 8 yards per attempt. That's
and
gross.
They were awful the first 8 weeks. They were like, they were abysmal. Then they brought in Arlan Bruce. Second half of the season, they were on fire. And Travis, some Grey Cup weeks from time to time, he would just kind of look at me and say, "What?" He said, "You know, what bothers me most about Grey Cup is 2012. I'm like, "Well, what, dude? You guys weren't even in the Grey Cup in 2012. It was Calgary." He's like, "Exactly." He's like, "We were better in 2012 than we were in 2011, and we should have been there, and we should have beat Toronto." And when you think back to the two Arco championships of the decade, both of them are almost by accident.
So many. I love these lists so much because you dig back into history and moments you hadn't thought about in a while, they bubble back up, and it's going to be a good long weekend for me. Arash Madani of Sportsnet with us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Your piece on the Montreal Alouettes was timely, and as we've gone through, we've seen organizations that get it and really more organizations that don't get it. Boston Bruins, looking at you. It seems like Mario Cecchini and the Montreal Alouettes, they get it. Is that fair?
Yeah, very much so. And so Cecchini's a new president, and he marched in the Black Lives Matter demonstration in Montreal, and he spoke at it, and he realized, after he watched the same things you and I did, Derek and everybody did with George Floyd and the rest, he said, "We have to do more." And he said, I'm thinking, you know, he's like, "We have 60 or so staff members with football ops and admin." And he's like, "I had no idea. I have no idea. So my staff probably don't. What's the best way that we can make people understand? What's the best way to have a conversation? What's the best way to have a Q&A? And he called Vernon Adams, his franchise quarterback. He calls Enoch Mwamba, a Canadian who was born in the Congo, who can also speak French, and he calls his head coach. And it's three black dudes who have seen the world through different yet similar lenses and have intersected on football. And football has brought them to a French province in Canada to make a living. And they're all colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And Vernon's telling stories about his experiences and his life, and Enoch's doing the same, and Kahari's doing the same. And I thought the most interesting part of the whole thing, and I think this is really important to understand, is when I didn't speak with Kahari, but I spoke with Vernon, I spoke with Enoch, and I spoke with the president. And Mario, the president, said, I said, "You know, what was your real, of all the takeaways, what were yours?" He said, "That's when it became real for a lot of people. It became real because it's not something you see on TV or that you read on the internet or you see in a newspaper. It became real because that's somebody you know. That's a colleague. That's somebody that, you know, you're working towards the same goal for, to win a championship and do it in front of a packed house." And all those staff members know those people personally.
Mm-hmm.
And when it becomes personal for you, it's not just a stat on a page. It becomes a real human being. And I thought that was a really striking statement that he made.
Yeah, there's a lot of points in your story that step out for me. I mean, Vernon Adams talking about meeting a friend, and his friend's grandfather comes in the room and says that black people shouldn't be with white people. But when he learned that Vernon was going to the Oregon Ducks, his favorite football team, "Oh, well, you're okay." Well, that's
right.
That's not particularly helpful. And then I thought there, you talked about they're having the meeting with Montreal staff, and Enoch Mwamba points out, "Hey, everybody on this call, everybody in our staff is white. So what are we really doing here?" Sure, majority of football players are, you know, African-American or black. Most of the staff is white. That's something we need to address as well. I thought that was poignant by Enoch to point that out.
No question. And Mario said, look, we're committed to making a difference there. And that's a big part of this. You know, Evander Kane was on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. He said, you know, I look around. He said, I don't see any black coaches on the bench. I don't see any black coaches in the GM chair, the president's chair, or the ownership chair in professional hockey. And Kim Davis is an executive vice president at the NHL with social affairs. And she said, we need more of that. And I just finished doing a Canadian Olympic Committee video call with Kia Nurse, who's probably as recognizable a Canadian basketball player as there is.
Mm-hmm.
But on the national team, her backcourt mate is Maya Marie Langlois. And Maya won 4 national championships at the University of Windsor. She's playing professionally overseas. She's bounced around Sweden and Russia and whatever. I think she's coming up on 30 years old. Derek, you know what she said on that call? She said, I have never had a black coach in my life.
Wow.
So you want people to be involved and say, hey, this is something I can do. Look, let's say that I'm a kid who loves football or loves basketball, and maybe I'm not as talented on the floor, but maybe I can become a coach, or maybe I can become a GM, or maybe I can become a scout, or maybe I can become a broadcaster, or maybe I can be a team president. And you look around, and there's just so few chances for them, and so many people become disillusioned. And race is one part of it. Now, Pride Weekend just finished. My colleague Scott MacArthur just said, he made this point to me, and I thought it struck me. He said, I will assure you that over the course of the last 50, 60, 70 years, there has been a closeted gay kid who had the talent to be a pro, a talent to be an all-star, maybe even in a Hall of Famer, who was so uncomfortable with the culture in which they were surrounded by, said, this isn't worth it, and I'm just going to stop. And maybe he stopped at the age of 11 or 13 or 15. But there's just so much there. And I was just like, man, people talk about white privilege, and that's a thing. But also, there's a lot of us with privilege that, you know, talking to Enoch and talking to Vernon, talking to different people, the more we embrace people and just let people be and extend a hand, that's going to allow more people. It's just more inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe somebody's going to be a coach or a GM or a president. And who cares? Who cares about the rest? Because if we're all working together towards the common goal of winning a championship, I promise you, that ring is going to look the same on everybody's finger, no matter what color it is and no matter what their sexual orientation is.
That is very well said. Arash, thanks so much, man. Have a great Canada Day tomorrow, and we will talk to you on Thursday.
All right, GT. Happy Canada Day to you and everybody out there. It is awesome to be Canadian, isn't it?
100% agree. Read Arash's piece at sportsnet.ca about the Montreal Alouettes. It is terrifically done. Terrifically done. The Medani Report brought to you by Smart Investing Solutions. If you're unsure what to do with your investments, call Brian Golly for some free financial advice. Call 546-2533. 522, we go to break. Bottom of the clock, it's free agent defensive back Jonathan Rose on his recovery from spinal surgery. It's coming up on The Cage.
5:24 with the afternoon rush. The next phase of our province reopening is good for sports fans. Premier Scott Moe announced that indoor sports and activities can resume on July 6. Pools and rinks will open that day as well. The CFL's discussed an Ontario hub city with provincial officials there. They're eyeing the Hamilton-Burlington area. TSN's Dave Naylor reports that everything is on the table for us for getting the CFL season underway, DT.
Today's show brought to you in part by Kevin's Marine. Make the most of summer with a boat or pontoon from Kevin's Marine, kevinsmarine.com. Zinger, safe to say I've been fairly negative on the actuality of these bubbles and these hub cities. Think that's fair?
Yeah, it's fair.
So here's one of the reasons why it was brought out today. MLS is going to Orlando. They have a bubble in Orlando, which is underway. Mm-hmm. Guys are quarantining in a hotel. Omar Gonzalez, who's a defender for Toronto FC, posted a picture of his delicious lunch. Delicious lunch. It looked like a slapped piece of medium rare roast beef on pumpernickel with a aged banana and a small cup of what looked like roasted potatoes.
I was hungry until you just said all that.
Yeah, he tweeted with the word yum. It was obviously in sarcasm. As far as lunch, roast beef sandwich, fine. You know what he had to pay for that lunch?
Probably like $18 or something.
No. It's from an MLS mandated menu at the place that they're staying, and you have multiple options. This was one of him. His roast beef, banana, and roasted potatoes, $65.
Get out of here.
$65. He posted
for roast beef slapped on pumpernickel or whatever. Give me a break, man.
Breakfast is $55. Dinner is $75.
Oh, come on.
It's a box. It's in one of those brown takeaway containers. It's a sandwich with a banana, which is 2 days away from being banana bread or garbage, and some potatoes. Okay, we have a real problem with bubbles now, because if you're going to, like, some Major League Soccer players do not make real big money.
No, they don't.
Some of them make millions. Omar Gonzalez, just guessing, like, that's one of the best players America has, makes decent money. $65 for lunch?
So what's like a good dinner worth then? Probably a couple $100s?
The number they plopped in there was 75, but what's good might be a whole different thing.
Whatever.
We've got a real problem with bubbles then.
That's
because
ridiculous if that's what bubbles are all about.
Yeah.
Milking these athletes $60 for a chintzy, brutal, disgusting looking meal like that.
No, like get Come a Subway on, guy man. In the bubble and just send him back and forth to the
Subway.
Are they
allowed to get their own food? Can't tell me that they have to buy from this menu.
Can't be leaving. It's a bubble zinger. You can't go anywhere.
You can't be like Uber eating deliveries or anything like that.
Oh no, that would violate the bubble.
That would violate the bubble. So, this reminds me of like the bubble boy from Seinfeld. Yeah.
Can you imagine if the Edmonton Oilers are in the conference finals?
Violate the bubble.
And all Connor McDavid can get is a roast beef on pumpernickel for six. If your team's not paying for your meals, they're doing it wrong right off the bat.
And all the athletes just have their runs in the first period, just have their runs nonstop because of the food they're putting in their bodies.
There's another one, right? What with all the things we think about, what if some bad food gets through? And now the whole team. I don't know how much different that would be from being at a hotel in the playoffs normally, but
they're not sick with COVID. They're just sick from this food we've been feeding them in the bubble.
Yeah.
In the bubble.
We put another one on the list of why I am not on team bubble. I just don't buy it. And $65 roast beef on pumpernickel, that is just full on malarkey.
Can we add that to the board maybe in the whiteboard in here?
I think so. It is 5:28. We'll go to break on the other side. Free agent defensive back Jonathan Rose, bouncing back from off-season surgery, pretty serious surgery, says he's ready to go. CFL we're waiting for it. We'd love to have Jonathan Rose back in the league. We'll talk to him next on The Cage.
And the screams from everywhere. I'm addicted to the thrill.
I'm ready. 5:30 on the Sports Cage. Smoke and play of the day every day for JB Sausage Maker. Make your healthy choices with JB Sausage Maker Supplies. Now accepting orders online. Make flavors bland to bold. And the Sports Cage On Demand is available for the Canadian Brew House. The CBH wants you to come work for the brew. Apply today at thecanadianbrewhouse.com. Been a long road back to football shape for Jonathan Rose, former Ottawa Red Blacks defensive back, who's nice enough to join us on the line. Jonathan, welcome to The Cage, my friend.
How y'all doing, man? How y'all doing?
Doing very, very well, thank you. First up, before we dive into your story, I'm doing the CFL's all-decade ballot for the 2010s. Give me the best receiver you had to go against in your 4 years in the CFL.
I would have had to go with Darvin Adams. He was probably the toughest guy I've seen year in, year out. Consistent player, very good hands. He got big playmaker type of guy. So he probably gave me the biggest challenge out of all of them.
I feel like he is perennially underrated by CFL watchers and analysts, and I don't know why. Because that dude, like you said, that dude can make plays.
100%. He might not have all the numbers as he hasn't played as many years as some guys, but he's always in the top of the wide receivers year in, year out, just because of his big playmaker and big play ability.
Yeah, and if they unleash that offense in Winnipeg a little bit, he could really get some stuff going. I'm excited, and Jonathan, I said this to you in our DM, and I confess, I was wondering why no one had signed Jonathan Rose yet, and I thought, what's happening here? And it turns out you were having spinal fusion surgery.
Yes, sir.
Tell us how you hurt yourself early in 2019.
Okay, it sounds worse than it is. So I know you just said it in a kind of way, but it's not as serious as it may sound. But anyways, in 2019, I just started to feel funny probably about game one. I went to jam a receiver, and my arm kind of tingled as I jammed him, and I kind of lost. Like, I felt a little numbness. So I didn't lose feeling, but I felt a little numbness, tingling feeling. So we, in the football world, classifies as like a stinger. Like, if you make contact with a guy wrong angle, it'll give you a little numbness, tingling feeling. But This is a feeling I haven't felt before. So I decided to get it checked out. They checked it out, graded a stinger at the time. So I finished the game and went on to play two more games. And within going into the third game, which we played Winnipeg, I felt funny working out the next day after Winnipeg. So after that game three after Winnipeg, I didn't feel comfortable in the weight room. I couldn't get the right strength of my arm, and it kind of felt like I didn't have enough strength to lift it at times. So I asked my team doctor if what he thought, and he told me I should get an MRI. And then it goes down to me getting the MRI, and they said I had a herniated disc. So I, instead of continuing to play, which is, it's not serious until you really break something, but being herniated needed to be taken care of. So I got that taken care of with the spinal fusion surgery, and that's where we at right now.
So let's just go back and step through this. So you hurt yourself in week one. Week two,
yes,
the Riders come to town, and I don't remember you missing snaps at that field corner spot. I remember you out there the whole game. You were playing with this injury was there to some degree already by the time that game rolled around.
Yes, sir. So I had already made my mind up after game one. I was like, if you made it one game, you can make it another game. So Saskatchewan happened to be another game, and I made it through that one. And once I got to the Winnipeg week, just body kind of broke down, man. I feel like fatigue had got to me, soreness of working out, and game after game had got to me. And I had an injury that really needed to be taken care of, and my body was addressing that. My body was telling me how you need to kind of slow down. So I took heed. And I'm glad I went and got that MRI because I'm the type of player, like you said, it happened in week one and then Saskatchewan, I didn't miss a beat. I'm the type of player, if I ain't dead, I'm gonna give you a show. So it came to the point where I'm glad I got a doctor to give me his own approving analysis of me, because if not, I probably would have did something detrimental to my body.
Wow, that is a lot. Where was the herniated disc? Was it your neck? Was it your back?
Yes, it was in my upper neck.
Okay. And you say spinal fusion surgery sounds worse than it is. Please tell me what it was for you, because it sounds horrible.
Yes, and how you feel right now is how I felt in the beginning of the process. I was like, okay, so life really is over, huh? So that was what I was trying to tell me. It just ends right here. Jonathan Rose is finished with football. But it's significant because if you don't approach it the right way, it's basically you playing with your life of being able to move freely and do certain things. So if you don't have the right doctors taking care of you and you just don't heal properly, it could be a long, strenuous process that could really be detrimental. But like I said, having the top specialist, Dr. Way, he coached me along the way, and before he even did surgery, he just prepped me with things of staying healthy, lifting as many weights as I could. If I didn't have any limitations, he advised me to lift just to be stronger, so once you did have the surgery, it would not be as long of a healing process, which it wasn't. And I'm still amazed, like everybody else today, because I thought it was over, and the rehab that they told me I was going to have to go through, never had to even really go through. So that was a blessing. But it's just one of those things, you prepare properly and you have the right people around you with the right guidance, you can handle it right. But if you don't handle it right, it could be like they were trying to say could be the end of a career in like any kind of contact sport.
Well, and 100% true. And forgive me, I don't remember exactly, but were you in the game where Jonathan Hefney hurt himself?
I was not, but I've heard of this story.
Okay, because that was an Ottawa-Montreal game, and I want to say it was 2015 or so. And
yeah, that was a little while before I got here. But somebody, as I was speaking of my story, someone tried to explain this story to me as well.
Yeah, Hefney lays a hit down and he dropped to the ground, and his road back to normalcy. It's taken some turns after that, but it was horrific. So I can imagine for you, Jonathan, that, I mean, when you hear neck surgery and spinal fusion and you go, hey, you honestly must think that this thing I've worked my whole life toward might just be disappearing because of this injury.
Yeah, and that's a hard pill to swallow. And unless you played a sport, you really won't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the rest of us, we got out of sports because we were terrible at it, and yeah, the amount of work you had to put in, and you know, now it's out of your control. So you had the surgery in January. What have the last few months been like for you?
So it's been a lot of tedious at home, self-assisted rehab. So my rehabilitation place that I was going to use got shut down because of COVID, so I've had to do a lot of just at home workouts, and my guys have sent me some information on little at home exercises I can do just to keep myself active and continue my process of getting my bones and my muscles back stronger. So without having weight, good things that you can do just to speed up the process. So I've just been doing those, a lot of core stuff, because basically the core is the center of everything. So I've been doing a lot of core and I've been like in the gym, like a jungle gym, just doing on the bar, just pull ups. That's the regular, just getting used back to my body weight. Because like I said, I didn't have in my eyes, it wasn't a major surgery. Now in medical terms, it might have been a major surgery, but as good as I feel, I'm just going to call it what it is. But so I just do the maintenance thing that they tell me, and my body feels so good that I kind of throttle down a little bit because I don't know, because the way they say I should be feeling, I don't feel, so I don't want to overdo it if I'm just one of the exceptions. So I just try to take it a day at a time, but right now I feel 100% like I did before I even started, before the surgery. It's like I never knew that I had a herniated disc.
that is great to hear. As a football fan, that is fantastic to hear. He is Jonathan Rose, defensive back, joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. I guess the next step there is you feel 100%. You have to convince teams that you're 100% though. I wonder, like, that could be a hurdle for you.
Yes, and I'm prepared to take that step, because you know everybody's gonna want to see something. After every injury, everybody expects you, and it's always just expected just because of an injury. You're supposed to lose a step. So everybody wants to see where you're at compared to where you were before. So I'm going to have to prove that, which that's what I'm training for and getting my body prepared to do now, because that's the expectation. I'm expecting people to want to see the same product that they've seen before. So once I show them that, then everything else is just up to who wants to take the chance and sign me.
Yeah, because when GMs and decision makers hear neck surgery and spinal fusion, they may well react the way I did, of like, oh, that sounds awful. But then you having been through it, go, well, it's really not that bad, and here's why.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, remember this interception I made in the 2018 Grey Cup? I can play still.
Yes, sir. 100%. Now, if you weren't an athlete, it's hard to explain. The only reason I said that is because you know your body.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let somebody else tell you your body. Like, hey, if I don't feel like I can do it, I promise you, I wouldn't ask you to let me go out there and embarrass myself if I didn't feel like I was up to the challenge of doing it, right? Because as an athlete, you want to put your best performance on. You're not going to go out there unless you can 100% fulfill the job that they're asking you to do. And I feel like as of right now, until, like I said, I want to do some contact stuff just to make sure, but there's no question in my mind that I at least know I can go out there and give my all and at least show you similar parts of what I could do last year. And if not everything, like I told you, I just haven't had contact. I'm just not going to tell you, yeah, I'm going to go out there and do things I did like to Johnny Manziel off rip. I can't promise you that right now. But if you give me a chance to get to know my body again, I promise you, you will see some nice things.
That is fantastic. I love Johnny Manziel drops on the show. That's fantastic.
Yes, sir.
53 games in the CFL. 2018, you were absolutely a stud. 5 interceptions and 4 forced fumbles as well. And I'll never forget that day. It was a pregame that day at Edmonton, and Davis Sanchez, one of the analysts from TSN, was talking about you, and he said he's a guy who he's playing man, but he's just so long and he's so fast and he's so smart that he can. It's like he's playing zone out here, and then all of a sudden you make an interception 6 hours later in exactly the way Davis mentioned. Teams will have not forgotten what you're about on the field.
I appreciate that, man, because as an athlete, all you got is what you put on film, man. And I try to put great things on film that you can go back and rewatch and be like, man, that was really spectacular. So I'm the type of guy that I take my craft very seriously. It's crazy that you brought up 2018, because that was the year I felt like I had my best year, and I still fell short of an all-CFL all-star. So that's what I'm chasing. I've got a Grey Cup. Got a Grey Cup my first year here. So now I'm trying to pad my stats with a few more Grey Cups. But I'm chasing that all-CFL all-star, man. I really am, because I feel like I've put enough play together to be determined as one of the top DBs, if not the top DB in the league. But that's to be determined by everybody. But that's what I love about the challenge. And so coming back is just, if you missed the Jonathan Rhodes before, you won't want to miss this Jonathan Rhodes coming back, because it's just as spectacular, just as fun, and I'm a little bit more energized now.
I was trying to remember, you made me go back and think to who was on my All-Star ballot for 2018, and as I pull it up, Delvin Bro and Ciante Evans, because I went field and boundary and field, and it was tough to be a better boundary DB than Delvin Bro was in 2018. But
man, listen, that if people don't want to come your way, it's a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you, I'm curious about you were in 3 games last season, but when the Riders came to Ottawa in week number 2, you were to the field side, if I'm not mistaken, and Chris Randall was getting gooned to the boundary side. That's me saying that, not you, but
yes,
you,
sir. You... Hey, I'm not speaking on this. It's my good man. Listen, I just play the game just as he does.
It wasn't. I love Chris Randall. It wasn't his finest game in that one. You were to the field side this past season. How much of a part of it you were? What was the year like in Ottawa for you this past year?
Oh, man. Well, let me tell you from start to when it got crazy. So starting the year off, being in Ottawa 4 years, having been Calgary in one regular season game, and I go out there and I end the game with an interception, couldn't have been a better start to any year. That's all I can say. So yeah. You beat a team that you've never beat in the regular season ever, and then I get the opportunity to pick off Bo Levi to end the game. And it was bittersweet, man, because Bo Levi might not know it, but I had a target on him, man, because you beat me in the Grey Cup just the year prior. So I didn't forget that either, where I started that game off with an interception to just because I had to get the naysayers off my back. But that's a whole nother story for another day. But to be able to start the season off in that caliber with my team, all the unexpected, new quarterback, new offense, a lot of guys gone. Hey, I was ready for the challenge. So I'm going into that Calgary game, beating the top team every year in the first game of the season. I couldn't ask for any more. And with Dom Davis throwing 4 interceptions and we came back from all the adversity, like, you can't ask for a better start for anything. So I was like, man, it's made to be successful. Going into Saskatchewan, I was like, okay. Still undefeated. So we up there in a tier of not many people after one game. There's only so many that can be undefeated. Yeah. So now we're still up there in that tier.
Yeah.
Stats comes in with my good man, Willie P. The man, never will I talk bad about my good man, Willie P.
Yeah.
Comes in. We give him a good fight. We end up winning. And then now I feel like, so we put that first game behind us, and now Dom Davis puts together his best performance I've seen that season. I was believing. I believe in Grey Cup, here we come. That's where Jonathan Rhodes was week 2. Yeah. Grey Cup, here we come. So Winnipeg, the guys that win the Grey Cup in 2019.
Yeah.
Come in, we can give them a good fight. Don't put a real good game together, but we still made plays defensively as I felt. Yeah, we didn't put a good full game together offensively and defensively, but plays were made and just didn't fall in our favor, which I was like, that's our first loss. Okay, so we 2-1. Now I go out and
it all fell apart. The team was 1-14 without Jonathan Rose. Like you were clearly...
It's not even trying to say that. It just never looked the same to me. Like I've not been on the field for the Red Blacks, and it looked like Red Black football. I wasn't on the field, and Pruno left, and then it was guys. I like all the guys they brought in, but I couldn't see Red Black football being played nowhere.
It was,
and that's what was the most hurtful, that I felt like we lost our character as who we were. Like, no matter who, if Jonathan Rose, if Antoine Pruneau, or if Dom Davis, whoever's in there, no matter who's in there, it should still look like Red Black football. It should still be a competition, a fight. I've seen no fight. I've never been a part of the Red Blacks and lost 15 games at any point in time in my career. I'd never seen it. So it was shocking and it was disturbing to me because I didn't understand who that team was.
What was it about that team? What happened? Because 2-1, like 2-0 when the Riders left town, and then the Red Blacks won one of the next 16 games. What was it?
I say leadership, and you have to have, every team has to have a culture. You know, you have to have something that your team is rooted in. So since I was rooted in it when I first came in at 16, winning the first Grey Cup in Ottawa, I learned under the Jarrell Gavinses, Abdul Kanaes, who they brought back. I was trained up by real leaders that have been to those, know how to get there. So when you lose that, and there's a lot of guys that just play football, well, you're just getting football out there. You're not getting leadership, so you're not getting anybody to guide. With the fact that we had a veteran out there, all-star, all-CFL all-star with Chris Randall, but at the same time, he was used to Winnipeg's culture. He can't come to Ottawa's culture and lead Ottawa like he did at Winnipeg. Just, and like I said, if you're not an athlete, sometimes you don't understand this kind of stuff. Yeah, you were a leader where you were, but now I'm coming to somebody else's place and they do stuff a little different. So let me figure out how they do it before I start to inflict this veteran card. So that's what Chris Randall came to me saying, like, man, listen, this has been your team. You've been with them for 40 years of success. Let me come in and be successful with you. Now I'm out the picture. J. Rose can't affect the game in any kind of way now besides with my verbal and my communication and trying to get guys to be better. So now it's Chris Randall out there to lead a team of guys, basically, because he is the veteran of that team, of that defense now. And with Antoine Pruneau, went down kind of early in the season as well. So that was our leader that actually knows our culture. So now he's sidelined. So our voices kind of get pushed to the side. So now you got guys out there just trying to put it together. But like I told you, the Red Blacks have been successful because they have a system that this is how we do it in Ottawa. If you can't get with it, you don't really fit in. That's how I feel like the guys that come in and we pick guys is why Abdul Kanay is back. They don't really change pieces. When it works, it works. And if you can't figure out a way to make it work, you might have to bring some certain guys that know how to make it work back. So we had a culture around there, and there was not enough pieces that were used to being out there in those type of battles out there. So there's a lot of guys that's new faces. It's hard to make anything work with new faces and on both sides of the ball at that. So we got a new offense.
Yeah.
And you had a veteran defense coming into the season that knew each other, but now you got some guys out there and those key pieces make a difference. Like Antoine Pruneau, field general, he tells everybody to call. Now you got a new guy out there, don't really know the people by name. It can kind of get scary out there when somebody doesn't echo the call across the field, and that turns into a detrimental season.
Yeah, it was tough, and it's a good reminder that even if the guy, I think of things in terms of Madden. If the guy goes from a 90 to an 87, well, I want to move him out because there's a 90 out there, but there's all sorts of things beyond, you know, full being able to be the fastest or jump the highest. There's so many
100%.
Things psychologically 100%. And team psychologically that come out to be important that I, as a fan, lose track of as well. So yeah, that's a really good point that you make there.
Yeah.
Jonathan, I'm hoping the best for you. I hope the best for you, but someone's snapping you up when we get football started again. I think people remember. I think people know.
I appreciate it, man. And, I'm just trying to go out here and win, man. That's what it's all about, man. I enjoy the fans. I enjoy putting on shows. I enjoy what I do. And at the end of the day, if people want me to play for their team, they really want to win a championship, and that's what I do. I'm out here to win championships, and the other accolades are very meaningful to me too. Like I told you, I'm searching for that All-CFL award because I came out here to be the best that I can be. And when you get those accolades, that means they acknowledge you for being the best that you can be. So all that being said, the Jonathan Rose people are going to get from here on out is just going to be the same spectacular athlete and just entertainer and guy, you know? Like, I'm one of them guys that everybody has their people, the Allen Iversons, the LeBron James, the people like to see people play. I like when people like to see me play, and I love the haters, too, the people that be like, man, I hate that guy. I love those people as well.
Maybe you'd look good in green. Maybe if that comes to be a thing. Maybe you'd look okay in green. Who knows?
I've heard that a lot lately, so it might be a thing just happening.
I think they're pretty happy with what they got, but you can never have too many talented players. Jonathan, it's great talking to you. Thanks for giving us the time today. And yeah, I'm fully confident of what your future is going to be. Best of luck nonetheless, because we need you back in the CFL for sure.
Hey man, appreciate you, man. I just even though you're in Saskatchewan fan. Listen, I love the CFL in general, man. I love to have fun and to go out there and put on a good game for the people, man. I just appreciate your appreciation of me. Thank you.
Not at all. He is Jonathan Rose, defensive back, late of the Ottawa Redblacks. Nice enough to join us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Western Pizzas will be reopening for dine-in over the next little while. Call your local Western Pizza for their specific opening details. That dude is good at football.
He is a good football player.
And when we know him a little better, maybe we ask him about the referee thing. But we'll move on to that another day. Good dude. And, man, spinal fusion surgery sounds terrifying. But great to know that it wasn't near as bad as it sounds for Jonathan. 5:53 to break. Final minutes of the show next in the cage.
Sports ticker at 5:55. While the province is set to reopen rinks, pools, and entertainment venues, there's still nothing as far as fans for sports. Premier Scott Moe says they may have more tools in the fall to allow fans back into events. The Pats select defenseman Stanislav Zvozil in today's import draft. There we go, Zinger. You can do it, buddy. The Pats officially gave up on their selection from last year, Daniil Gushin. He re-entered the draft and went fourth overall to Niagara. Minor League Baseball is canceled for 2020. With Major League Baseball not providing players, there is no one to play in the minor leagues, DT. Just no one to play.
Yeah, if they're not going to assign their players to their minor league affiliates, no minor league baseball. What's America about? Baseball, fireworks, the 4th of July, apple pie.
No minor league baseball. There will be no Durham Bulls.
There'll be no fireworks. Hopefully there's still is apple pie still a thing? I hope it's still a thing.
Oh, I hope so.
God, I love apple pie.
Oh, me too. Pumpkin too.
Pumpkin can go to hell.
You don't like pumpkin
no
pie?
No chance.
Oh, well, whatever, man. With whip with Cool Whip on top? Come on.
No chance.
Whatever.
No chance. Thank you to Jonathan. Thanks to Tyron Brackenridge for joining us. It's tough. These all-decade teams, if you take them seriously, they're very tough.
Oh, man.
This guy did this for 5 years, and this guy did this for 6 years, but they were different. Well, when they overlap, this guy, they get to be real tough. Yeah, it's great. It's going to – I got a five-day weekend coming up. It's going to take up most of my five-day weekend. Let's not kid ourselves.
That's true. So you said you get two quarterbacks, right? Do you get to select two quarterbacks?
Yeah, you have to rank them one and two.
Okay. Well, so, I was thinking about mine throughout the show. I think Bo Levi Mitchell is going to have to be in there. When you think of this decade, you think of Bo Levi Mitchell. He's been
two-time Grey Cup MOP or MVP, yeah, pardon me.
He's been like the best quarterback in the decade in the CFL.
Who's your two, though?
That's one I'm going to have to get back to you on. I've come to the conclusion with one, but number two, I kind of want to lean towards Darian, but at the same time, like, Mike Riley's put up some really good numbers, won a Grey Cup.
Crazy.
So it's a tough, I don't, you know. Good luck with you.
Yeah, they're so very hard. So appreciate guys weighing in. Appreciate yours as well at DT on SC. Marlene saying Tyron Brackenridge absolutely positively has to be on my list. Hardest hitter in the league in his five seasons in green. So yeah. Tyron's going to be high on the list of safeties in that one. It is Canada Day tomorrow. We will not be here. We'll be out celebrating with virtual fireworks because real ones will not. Hopefully it's outside weather day tomorrow. It looks like sun is in the forecast. So, yeah, get out, enjoy. We'll be back on Thursday. Michael Ball will be back Thursday and Friday. And don't forget, Sunday, 3 o'clock, reunited in green. We'll hear the game in which Jonathan Rose was playing with
herniated
almost
discs.
A broken neck.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. Reunited in green the next 8 Sundays, 3 o'clock, as we look back at some of the greatest moments from 2019 with all the inside information from Fajardo, from Dickinson, and all the important players. You can only get it here on 620 CKRM. Have a terrific Canada Day for Zinger. I'm DT. Thank you so much for being with us. We're back Thursday on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.